Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. I have to tell you something funny. Every time I hear that song, I remember our campus pastor in college. Stephanie will remember this. And one day he was preaching a sermon and he said, the two best hymns for a wedding is the processional hymn, Right On in Majesty, and the message hymn, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. Look, here he comes. Here he comes. Oh, this is so exciting. He's coming. He's coming. I can't wait. I've always wanted to see him. Here he comes now. Here he comes. Wait. I didn't bring my camera. Oh, because, you know, today we're all like this, right? I can't live life. I have to live it through my camera anyways on my phone. Here he comes. Fill in the blank. That may be different for each of us, right? For me, I don't know. I don't know who it would be. Jesus, obviously. But modern day, I don't know. Maybe it would be, I have no idea. Who would it be for you? Would some of you be the President of the United States, maybe? Yes? No? That was a collective no. Okay. But maybe your favorite singer, you know? Like, I don't know. I don't even have it. My favorite singers are all dead. Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard. If I see Johnny Cash coming, that's probably the other one there. But you can just fill in the blank, right? We get excited with pomp and circumstance. I remember watching videos of in the old days of presidents riding through town. Franklin Roosevelt riding through into a town. I remember seeing, you know, John F. Kennedy going into towns and how excited people were, and they came out and they were all excited and they stood by the streets and they were like, yay, watch out. One over here, you know? Oh my gosh, or the Pope. Now there's one for you. I mean, they'll throw the babies at the Pope. Hey, Pope, here's my baby, you know? Kiss it for me, will you, Pope? Yeah, and then he throws it back to them and they catch it. It's pretty amazing. But whatever it is, people get really excited when these figures come into town. And so that's kind of like our message today. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this reality that people like glory and they like human glory, don't we? We like human glory. Today is about God's glory. From Isaiah to John, our readings today show us the true glory of God. Paul writes something interesting for us in our letter to Philippians today, and this is what he says, that God glorified Jesus, now we're talking about Jesus, remember the second person of the Trinity, right? Second person, big guy, right? Big guy, powerful guy, second person of the Trinity. God glorified Jesus who became what? What did he become? Man, now hold on a minute. Would that be glorification, living in this world with all of its yuckiness? I mean, if I'm thinking about glorifying God, I'm not thinking about God becoming man, am I? But that's what God says. He humbled himself and became man. Jesus became man to humble himself because it's in humbling himself that God's glory is revealed. So we're going to look at two pictures today. Picture number one, Palm Sunday, Jesus riding into town. We're going to look at man's glory versus God's glory. So I said it to the children a little bit ago. It was very common in those days that what happened was a king would victoriously ride into town, right? They would either ride into town before battle or after battle, and they would ride into town, and they would the people would line the streets. Here he comes, get out your iPhones, they would say, so we can take pictures. That's what they would say. They did. It's in the Bible. Yeah. And they would see him coming, right? And they'd get their palm branches because those palm branches were very important to them. That was a sign of victory. They'd cut them down from the tree and they'd get their palm branches. And as the king rode into town, what did they say? Hosanna. Hosanna. Save us. And they were really praising the king. Listen, you went to battle. You saved us. You're popular. We love you. You protect us. Yay, yay, yay. Over and over they would shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the king who has saved us, his people, so that we can live in our country and be free and enjoy the things that we have. right? So when Jesus comes riding into town, you know, the people, they're seeing a king coming. Did you realize that? You see, the people that had followed Jesus that day were the ones, the Jews who had seen Jesus raise up Lazarus from the dead, and no doubt some others gathered with them, and some of the Pharisees who secretly believed in Jesus were probably there too, and they were all gathered around, and they see Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and why do you think it is they get so excited, and they start waving their palm branches saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Why is it? Because they thought Jesus was what? The Messiah. Now, he is the Messiah, right? But their understanding of Messiah was an earthly glorification, a man-made glorification of Messiah. Because as they saw the Messiah riding into town, they knew that he was coming to restore the kingdom of Israel to the people. He was coming to conquer and to get rid of the Romans and to get rid of all the other bad guys. Get your cameras out again, your iPhones, because this is going to be good. You may want to record this one on your iPhone because this is really good. Jesus is going to do something amazing. He's going to restore the kingdom of Israel at this time and rebuild the temple, and everything's going to be great and grand, and the Messiah is here. How exciting is that? And look at that human glorification. Human glorification. Humans thinking we know best. This is what Jesus is going to do, because they didn't get it. But here's reality. Here's the reality. Little did they not notice that Jesus was riding in on a white donkey, a colt, a beast of burden and humility, according to Zechariah chapter 9. You see, in those days, do you think the king came riding into town on a donkey? No, he came in on a Lamborghini. Sorry. He came in a limousine. No, that's not right either. What was that? What was this part of the message? Oh, he came into town riding on a white stallion. A white stallion was a symbol of victory, a beautiful animal with its head held high. And here's Jesus riding into town on a colt, a baby donkey. Do you think the people noticed? No, because they were all thinking, "Woo, here he comes, here he comes." And if they would have noticed, they would remember, wait a minute. Zechariah said, "Your king comes to you humbled and lowly, riding on a donkey, the colt of a donkey." And they would have kept riding a little farther, realizing that Jesus had different plans than restoring the kingdom of Israel to the people. But they didn't get it, because God's glory, as Jesus rode in on a donkey, he humbled himself, full of humility, was different than the glory of mankind. Because as Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, on that colt, on that donkey, he humbled himself. You know why? He was riding to his death. Picture number two, Good Friday. The very same crowd that once stood outside saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." Now they're in the courtyard glorifying man again, aren't they? And what are they shouting this time? Crucify him. Crucify him. Because they thought they knew best. I mean, they were mad. After all, he came into Jerusalem a few days ago, almost a week ago, and he didn't do anything. He didn't restore any power. He didn't do anything special. He just left us here. What kind of guy is this? And after all, the chief priests and the elders, you know, they said, "This is a bad guy. We shouldn't be following him. His teachings are wrong. So we're going to gather in the courtyard." Do you think these people are easily swayed, by the way? Human glory does that. And the scripture lesson even says they wanted human glory more than they wanted God's glory, did they not? And for fear of the Pharisees, which was human glory, what did they do? They followed the Pharisees, they followed the elders, they followed the chief priests, and they gather in the courtyard that morning, and they start shouting out to the top of their lungs, instead of Hosanna, "Crucify him, crucify him." God's glory shines in humility, weakness that relies on him, and a life that bears the cross. God's glory shines in humility, a weakness that relies on him, a life that bears the cross. You see, this is what God's glory is all about. God's glory in our life is when we allow our weakness to shine. You know what I mean by that? Instead of living out of our strength, which is human glory, who cares about our strength? I mean, really, who cares? My strength is my pride, isn't it? But when we use our weakness and say, "God, here is my weakness. Here is my mental illness. Here is my physical illness. Here are my financial troubles. Here are my fears. Here are my worries. Here are my doubts. Here are my anxieties. You kind of get what I'm going with, right? When we say that to God, guess what God does? He says, way to go. Now my glory will shine. And it does. His glory shines in that, and it leads other people in our lesson for today from Philippians to see Jesus Christ so that every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. Have you noticed it's when we are in our weakness when people see Jesus? Not in God's man's glory, but in God's glory. How powerful is that? God's glory shines in a life of humility. I don't know about you. My wife will disagree with this. I know she will. But I'm bad at letting my pride shine. And she'll say, no, you don't let your pride shine. But I do. I let my pride get in the way a lot of times. Do you do that? Men have an issue with that. Am I alone? Anybody else? Pride issues? Pride? It gets in the way, right? That's not humility. Humility is that life, again, that lays itself down and says, you know, I know what I want and I know what I desire, but I'm going to seek God first. I'm going to seek His will, His purpose, His direction for me. That's a life of humility. A life that lays itself down for the good of others. A life that loves the homosexual or the murderer or fill in the blank. A life that doesn't say, I agree with what you're doing, but a life that says, I love you because you are human and I am human and we're in the same boat. That's humility. And it's a life that bears the cross. Remember what Jesus said. Do you remember what he said in Matthew chapter 16? Take up your cross and follow me. Cross Christ led to pain, hardship, and death. Guess what? Ours will too. But because of Jesus, when our cross leads to these things, because of Jesus, when our cross leads to these things, His glory shines through. And His glory is amazing. His glory reaches into our lives and lifts us up. His glory reaches into our lives and fills us with the message we'll proclaim next week that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Don't say it. No hallelujah yet. But that's the glory that reaches into our lives. And what gives us a hope that knows no matter what we go through in this world, a hope that knows no matter the trials, the tribulations, or the suffering, the worries, the doubts, the sin, the pet sins, the addictions, the mental illness, anything that we deal with in this world, a hope that says it all will be gone when Jesus Christ rises and calls me home to be with Him forever. It all ends when I go through the grave into eternal life with Christ. And oh, it even ends today, because today Christ walks with me. Today Christ loves me. Today Christ carries me. And even though sometimes I don't see it around me because of my sinfulness, He is still there because He is a faithful God. And tomorrow when I look back, guess what? I see Him because He's always there, because He's a faithful God. You see, because of God's glory in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, because of God's glory in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we know that we can live a life in this world that has been saved by the Messiah. He has restored the kingdom of God. He has restored it completely and full. The kingdom of God belongs to you. It belongs to William, who is baptized today. Every piece of God's kingdom, all of His riches, all of His glory, all of His blessings, all of His gifts belong to you through baptism, through Jesus Christ, through His death, and through His resurrection. Brothers and sisters, that's how we are able to live in this world. Not by the glory of man, but by the glory of God. A God who loved us so much that He made Himself lower than us, died a death we deserved, and rose triumphant to open up kingdom and His gifts to us forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.